Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, we will read from two places. First location is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? Our first reading is from Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our second reading is from the same Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Actually, I'm going to read from verses 1 through 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We just talked about superpowers with Ryan, as you heard. We live in a culture that worships power in all its forms, from status and money to military weapons and firepower, from physical strength to brain power, from unlimited gas and electricity to horsepower and speed. Even our electronic gadgets feature power buttons rather than on-off switch. The more power you have, the better. So everybody strive for more, bigger, better, stronger, powerful. And in the midst of this rat race, the world lives and operates by a refrain. Blessed are the self-assertive and intimidating, for they shall get whatever they want. Right? Blessed are the powerful, politically, economically, socially, for they shall get whatever they want. But in our gospel lesson this morning, we hear a different voice in the words of Jesus as he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek. What does that mean? What does it mean to be meek? What do you think? What does it sound to you? What does being meek like? Be humble. Okay. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? Shy. Okay. I think when we hear the word meek, we oftentimes think of weak, right? Passive, shy, bland. Someone said, "The world does not know what meekness is. It sees what meekness misses, but not what it possesses." On Reader's Digest in 1998, Ted Turner called Christianity a religion for losers. His reasoning was based in part on what we call, what we are working on, the Beatitudes, and maybe particularly the verse that we are talking about today. His thinking is that any religion which asks its followers to be meek, humble and gentle, and merciful, even in the face of oppression, can only be a religion for losers. Sure, Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. But this reward in heaven business, he says, is pie in the sky by and by. This is what Marx calls the opiate of the masses. Clearly, people who are living in our world today, who strive for power, who strive for status, would not buy what Jesus says. Blessed are you who are meek, for you inherit the earth. In the Bible, the word meek is used to describe two persons, Moses and Jesus. Two most significant individuals in the Hebrew and Christian scriptures. The Hebrew word used here, meek, is anav, and it also indicates lack of status. Anawim, which is a plural form, refers to the poor, the humble, those without status in the social hierarchy. So how curious is it that Moses and Jesus are the two persons in the whole entire Bible who are referred as meek, anav? Jesus describes himself as meek when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, in the King James Version. The scholars say the Greek word here, meek, means gentle but strong. Strength that is under control and compassionate. One writer noted, the biblical meekness seems closer to the gentleness of a lioness with her cubs than to the hesitancy of a mouse carrying before a cat. See the difference? Meekness, as I talked with Ryan, it's when you have all the strength, all the power you have, but rather than throwing your power around, you are using it to serve others. That's what gentleness and humble means. Jesus, who is a Son of God, I mean, speaking of power, he has all the power in the world. He is God's Son. And yet he comes down to our level. He walks among us. And he serves us by giving his life on the cross. And Jesus says, that's what meekness means. So he says, I am meek. Come and learn from me. And if you read further on chapter 5, Jesus gives three examples of the meekness. Turning the other cheek, giving more than asked for, walking a second mile. Now, this is a hard advice for us to follow, especially those of us who expect to exercise a certain amount of rights for our lives. It seems Jesus is allowing others to be irresponsible or abusive of their power and teaching us not to hold them accountable for their behavior or fight back. But if we understand the context of Jesus' message, we can begin to see the revolutionary forces, the radical force of Jesus' words when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Biblical scholar Walter Wink unpacks these teachings of Jesus and explains to us, looking at the original context and the intended meaning. When Jesus says, "If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also," Jesus is not saying, "Let that person beat you up." That's not what he's saying. What Jesus is saying is, when someone to strike the right cheek, this is my right cheek. So if you were to strike me on this side with your right hand, okay, in those days, left hand was used only for unclean tasks. Okay? So unclean task, only the left hand, and then everything else was done by right hand. So right hand is what's used by the people to strike others. Okay, so if you were to strike my right cheek over here with your right hand, how will you do that? By this action, right? By striking someone with the back of your hand. Now, in Jesus' days, a backhanded slap was a serious insult and a routine way to keep inferiors in line. By striking someone on the back, basically, what the message you are saying is, you are worthless, not even worth for me to strike you this way. When you are struck with the back of hands, it means that's how low you are. You getting the picture? So when someone slaps you this way on your right cheek, by turning your left cheek, and forcing that person to slap you this way with your palm, what are you doing? You are not just asking for abuse. What you are doing is you are making a clear message. You are giving a clear message that you refuse to be humiliated, but strike the left cheek with your palm, saying that it means that you and I, we are persons of equal worth because you're striking with your palm. So when someone strikes you on the right and when you're turning the right left cheek, you're not saying, okay, you could strike me as many times as you want. What you are saying is, I will not be treated as inferior, but you could treat me as your equal. Make sense? Now, when Jesus says, for the second illustration, if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, your tunic, outer coat, Jesus says, give your cloak as well and your underwear. In Jesus' days, the poor lived under a terrible burden of debt, often losing everything they have to repay their creditor. But the Jewish law strictly forbade creditors to keep the cloak past sundown, the person's outer garment, because that might be the only item the person had to sleep in. So in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, that's one of the law that God gives, that you could take that person's outer garment as a repayment of debt, but when the sun goes down, you have to give it back so that the person can sleep in it and then in the morning return it back to you. Now here, Jesus says, if someone asks you for your outer cloak, he says, give your undergarment also. Why? Jewish custom considered nakedness a great shame for those viewing or causing nakedness rather than the one who is naked. I love this system. God's system is rather than blaming the victim, it is blaming the perpetuator. So when someone is naked, the naked person is not to blame, but the shame is on the one who caused it. So by giving the creditor your undergarment as well as your outer garment, leaving yourself naked, you are essentially exposing the injustice of the whole debt system and leave your creditor covered with shame. Finally, if Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. In Jesus' days, the Roman soldiers were allowed by Roman law to force civilians to carry their heavy equipment and packs. But the limit is that you could only force someone to go carry your pack for 1 mile. Okay, that's the law. So, and if you break the law, the soldier will have to face the stiff penalties for exceeding the limit. So if you're willing to offer to carry such a pack more than a mile, then you throw the soldier into significant panic. Can you just picture it? You are forced to carry this pack for this soldier. And so you go for a mile. When the mile is done, you're supposed to put it down so that the soldier can find someone else to carry it another mile. But if you keep carrying it, the soldier is basically coming and behind you, begging you to like, put it down, put it down. You've done your part, put it down. Do you see what Jesus is teaching here? Meekness is not just making yourself available to be a doormat. Meekness is being who you are in a gentle, humble way. Meekness is the strong gentleness of power under control. The control of God's Spirit as we use our strength and power under God's direction. As we look at our world today, our political climate, and all the violence that is happening in our country, you know, I was thinking, what would it look like? What would our world look like if all of the followers of Christ started exercising meekness wherever they are? See, every single one of us, we have power, we have privilege. And all of us, we have people under us, under our power. And we also have people over us, those who have power over us. And what would our family look like? What would our community look like if we used our powers and privilege to serve those who are under us? The world needs Christians who are courageous enough to live out the radical teaching that Jesus is teaching us. Blessed are you who are meek, who are gentle, who are humble, not throwing their powers around, but use the powers they have to serve those who are weak, to serve those who do not have a voice, to serve those who are at the bottom of our society. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I pray that each and every one of us, we will practice meekness in our lives so that we can win